Now, somebody's going to share their thoughts with us tonight. And I like him, but he's got a wife. Probably more than one, maybe, for all I know. He goes out on the ocean so much, you never know. Do you? Could be a fishy story here, for all I know. But, no, I love this man, and he's very intelligent, capable, spiritual, well-loved man. And I know that God's going to be using him for a lot of years, lots of years. And I'm proud to know him. And if you don't mind, while he's up here, you could be sending love thoughts to his wife's mom. She's very, very frail right now. In fact, she may not make it too much longer. We don't know. It'll take a miracle, I guess, for her to get her strength back and be able to walk longer on this earth. But I know he's thankful to that lady, because it just so happened that she has a daughter that he has loved for many years. Good many of you already know Kim, don't you? Yeah. She's wonderful. So I'm thankful that she shares her husband with us. It's okay, girl. We can flirt with him. She's not here. Yes, this is our Craig. And I look forward to hearing what he has to say.
Thank you. You know, I just to introduce myself, my name's Craig Hendricks, in case anybody doesn't know. And I first came to this church maybe 2004, I think. And I was on R&R from Iraq, of all places. And I'd heard about this place, and I said, just had to visit. And so I had a few weeks at home, and so here I was. I said, I've just got to go there. And it was at the Swedenborg Church, and it was the most amazing little visit I've ever had in my life. And the first time I had ever experienced, and that was quite a thought change for me, mediumship, and people giving messages. But by the end of that evening, I was going, well, this is very interesting. And I'm an extremely analytical person. So I was going, wow, this is very interesting. What have they got here? Now, and tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Bible, believe it or not. But we're going to do it, and we're going to start it in a little bit different way. How did the Bible come to be? How did it come to be? So, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. I'm going to need a couple soldiers. I have a couple soldiers. Can volunteer for me? Reese, can I have you? Would you be my soldier? Come on. Come on. You can do it. Okay. Report over to Reese there. There you go, young man. I was in the Army, so everybody's a soldier. Okay, now, you're going to have to follow along with this. You're going to have to focus really intensely for what I'm going to ask you to do. Because we're going to recreate first century Christianity. So, I'm going to tell Stan something. He will pass this something to the next person, who will pass it to the next person. You'll have to do it as accurately as possible. You'll have to do it as quietly as possible. Okay? Everybody agree to this?
Yep.
Okay? As quickly as possible, because there's an element of danger, because I've got soldiers hunting you down. Okay, here we go. Okay. Here we go. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Okay. Soldiers. Grab that man. Take him off. And off with his head. Keep going. Keep passing. Story. Keep going. Keep passing it. Keep passing it. Soldiers. Grab this woman right here. Stone her. Come on. We don't have very much time here. Keep going. I don't think I have enough soldiers. This thing is spreading like wildfire. This is ridiculous. Soldiers, grab that man on the end there. Drag him out of here. He's a troublemaker. Soldiers, grab that man over there. He looks like a likely suspect. The guy right in the front there.
Okay. Moment of shock on his face.
I suspect he knows something.
Now he didn't get the message.
We'll throw him in jail until he confesses. No, only once. You can only say it once. Keep going. Quickly. Soldiers, grab that man on the end. Drag him away.
Hurry.
Hurry.
Uh-oh. This person right here, he'll be scared to come back to me.
Okay, this is good. We're good now. Okay, the word can stop spreading. It's okay. Now, John will be the last guy. John? Now, John, I want you to please stand up and let us know this wonderful word that has been given to you. No, you heard something. What did you hear? Even if you don't think you caught it, what did you hear?
He just loved you, I thought.
Okay, that's good. Now, he thought he heard Jesus loves you. Okay? Now, that's what he thought he heard. How many of you heard that? Isn't that fascinating? Everybody can sit down now. And my soldiers, thank you, soldiers. You were outstanding. Your duty has been wonderful.
Wow.
So.
Carry us what you said.
Actually, what I said is a man in Jerusalem was killed and then rose from the dead. Isn't that fascinating? Now, you know.
Can you repeat the phrase one more time, please?
A man was killed in Jerusalem and he rose from the dead. Now, believe it or not, what we've just recreated is very similar to what first century Christianity was. How on earth did that all get put down into a gospel? In a Bible? In remembrances? Really, that's what they were. The Bible is remembrance of these stories that were told from one person to the next person to the next, sometimes under the most dire of circumstances. How many Gospels are there? Does anybody know? Give me an answer. Raise your hand. Go ahead. You're right. We really don't know. There could be hundreds. Right off, a quick survey, believe it or not, lists 88 in Wikipedia. Wikipedia knows everything, of course. But that being said, I happen to know for a fact that there were gospels that they didn't list. that have been discovered recently. So how did that all come to be? Well, you know, the reality of it is people were just, they were trying to get this down. In fact, we're pretty confident that it was at least 30 years after Jesus was crucified before the first book was actually written, before the notes were first collected. It was just stories, one person to the next person to the next person, trying their best to recreate, to relate the story as best as they could. But even then, you know, that you ultimately end up with lots and lots and lots of stories. Now, we're fortunate enough that we live in a time and an era where a lot of these books have started to surface. A lot of these letters have started to surface. And we're trying to piece these all together. And we're able to see that the gospel that we're most commonly familiar with, which are the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four gospels, and then Acts, and the Old Testament, really, their collection, those ended up being put together in their entirety about 400 years after the fact. Now, can you imagine 400 years of people relaying these stories over and over again to a population that was largely had wonderful intentions with all of the faults humanity has, and yet at the same time, you know, they just tried to piece it all together, however they could piece it together. Okay? So, we end up with the question, how did the basic idea of Christianity keep going? How did it keep going? How did that inherent message, which we know because of the imperfect nature of people, well, we try to attribute it to the Holy Spirit. But really, what is the Holy Spirit? What is that interaction? You know? Ultimately, that interaction really is, and we didn't call it that then, and certainly I didn't call it that when I was younger. But it was an act of mediumship. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to an individual, whether it was divine or whether it was Jesus or whether it was one of the saints or whether it was your family. The same exact thing was happening to all of the people back then, long before any of these notes were written down, long before these letters started being passed around. We do have references to it. You're going to have to remember that the references are coming through the eyes of a Middle Eastern man, okay? And they perceive the world a little bit differently than we do. Not worse than or better than, just differently. In Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated, came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues to one another. They began relating. They were the intermediary between the Holy Spirit, as they describe it in this moment in time. They were that intermediary. They were the interlocutor. They were the medium between the Holy Spirit and the other people they were going to give witness to. Now, what about the rest of the story? It's really fascinating. The rest of the story, with all of the wonder and amazement of it, what you're seeing is the emotional witnessing of an event that gets passed from one person to the next person to the next person. You're seeing the mediumship. Not unlike the mediumship of Jesus when he's talking to the woman in the well, who proceeds to tell her about that she had five husbands And she was going, oh my gosh, who is this man? This man must be a prophet. He's relaying information to her that's coming from the Holy Spirit, from the other side. Now, Jesus happened to be a perfect medium. But you can see how the people at that era, as they witnessed this and they saw this, they then described it in the most wonderful and amazing of ways. So you get some incredibly beautiful language that is conveying an emotional description of what they had witnessed. But nonetheless, it was just mediumship. That's all it was. When we're talking about this witnessing and how the Gospels all came together, you know, we end up with all of them are piecemealed. The four Gospels that we know, we commonly accept. We do know just through scholarship that Mark is constituted A. We do know for a fact that Mark was not one of the disciples. We also know that Mark is composed of components of other things. One is Q, one is some other articles that are unique to Mark, and then there's some other writers that other voices that might be in there. John seems to be at least two authors. John, the son of Zebedee, was attributed to be, and they believed it in the early days, 400 years after Jesus was crucified. They actually believed John, son of Zebedee, was a disciple of Jesus. In fact, they believe that was the only gospel that was actually authored by one of the disciples. But current scholarship doesn't really believe that. And there's really good reason to believe that. You can see there are different authors involved. Different, the way words are described, the way they're used can be very, very different in that, so that you know that it is not just one person. In fact, they just uncovered, not that long ago, the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, which was the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, of all things. Looking at that, you see the words are virtually verbatim in the Gospel of John. So it's now suspected that the Gospel of John is really the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, and for a host of reasons, well, maybe we want it to be over here, we want it to be attributed to John. Maybe not through any bad intent. They really didn't know. They were just piecing things together. And it's 400 years later. Okay? So, I think really, ultimately, what we're dealing with when we're dealing with the Gospels is, and there's a common theme that it is the Word of God. Well, you know what the Word of God is? The Word of God is virtually everything in the Bible. It's the Word of God is also in all of the other 88 that we can attribute to, having some sort of voice in there. But the Word of God is also speaking to each and every one of our hearts. The Word of God is also coming through the mediums that are doing their best to bring forth messages from our friends and our family on the other side, from the Holy Spirit on the other side, only limited by what our ability is to receive it and accept it with good conscience. You know, you should only believe what seems to be right whenever you're dealing with any medium, because nobody's perfect. But that was really, I think, a good synopsis of really how the Bible came into be. Does anybody have any questions? Does it all make sense? Okay.
And there were thousands upon thousands that got their heads locked off for believing.
For believing not just the four Gospels, for believing the gospel according to Seneca, the gospel according to Jacob, the Gospel of Josephus, the Gospel of Valentinius, to the life and morals of Jesus, Yehoshua the Nazir. All of these, I mean, you could just go on and on and on. The Nag Hammadi. These are amazing, amazing books, and I would highly recommend, and we do have them. You go out and read them. Each and every one of them contains the Word of God. But you know what the secret was to them interpreting it? They read these things, or they heard them with their heart. They heard them in love, and they heard them, and they tried to hear them in truth. Facts, details, were not as important as the emotional truth of the love involved in the story itself. Such that, to the Middle Eastern mind, and I had a lot of experience with it when I was over in Iraq, this was reality to them. And when they said that even the grains of sand shined with the light of God, I have no doubt that even the grains of sand became the Word of God at that moment in time for that individual. So, as we go forth today, maybe we can look at everything around us and our neighbors as really that medium, that mechanism of the Word of God, and the truth that ultimately ends up with that lone soul that says, God is love. There you go. Not a bad message in the end, was it? There we go. How's that, Millie? Thank you very much.